Very excited to be here. We're going to read some things that absolutely will change your life, absolutely. And I'm going to give an assignment to each section. So this is going to be section one, and you in the bleachers, you're going to be section two, and you're going to be section three. Got it? And up the bleachers. Two, one, three. Three, two, one. Okay. One, two, three. And you're all going to have to speak out loudly at the same time. Not at the same time, but in sections at the same time. Okay? And I'm going to say, if you are, okay, your word, slavery, slavery. Can you say that out loud?
Slavery.
Okay, we're going to, hold it, you didn't say anything. You're part of them. Okay, let's go here.
Slavery.
I think you can do better, but let's try. Your word is going to be sin. Got it?
Sin.
Wow. You must be experienced. Okay, you two right here and up there, you're going to be death.
Death.
Up there too.
Death. Slavery. Sin. Death.
Okay, I don't know why we're doing this, but it sure sounds fun. Okay, when I go like this, okay. So here will be the lead-in. Here will be the lead-in. If you are trapped in
slavery
because of
sin,
the judgment is
death.
Okay, got it? If you're trapped in
slavery
because of
sin,
the penalty is
death.
Okay, now, get ready. Put your helmets on, buckle up, and go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 of the book of Romans. You did very well. And that's only on one cup of coffee. Chapter 6. Now, as I mentioned on the first Sunday in January, as we started this chapter and verse of Romans, that when we got to chapter 6, 7, and 8, they become personal, one-on-one, life-changing experiences. So we're going to actually see the heart of St. Paul, of the things that he has gone through. And this is very important because it's not only theology and doctrine, it's lifestyle. And lifestyle is very, very important in the kingdom of God. So this is going to give liberation to many of you, because if you are trapped in
slavery
because of
sin,
then you're going to
die.
Okay. You're going to die or something, right? Death. The penalty is death. Okay, let's try that one more time. If you are trapped in, if you're trapped in
slavery
because of
sin,
the penalty is
death.
Listen to them. They went down. You guys are up. And death. Okay. So we have slavery, sin, and death. And that's going to be the highlight of this chapter in one way. All right? So let me read it through, and then I'll give you your assignment. Chapter 6. Our Father, we thank you for the book of Romans. We thank you for the richness of it, the depth of it, just the beauty of it. It's like you can just mine on top of the surface and become wealthy in the Spirit. And today, as some people are introduced to this chapter for the first time in their lives, that they would see that they are surrounded by slavery, sin, and death. And in this world, there's no hope. But we thank you that you sent your Son into this world that we live in. And the first missionary ever to come in and shake everything up. And Father, we open our hearts and our ears right now and invite you to walk through each aisle and touch everybody, that they would feel your presence and know that you're speaking to them. Bless them, Lord. Just pour out your blessings from heaven on us as a congregation. We pray for the hundreds of children that are in Sunday school and they'll be coming to the next service. You'd bless them, and bless them. We thank you, Lord, for the special needs children that you have people that are volunteering to love them and teach them about Jesus. And Lord, we pray for us, that you would bless us, those that are around the world on the internet or in the overflow rooms or in this gymnasium or listening on the radio. We ask that your Spirit would fall upon America. And Lord, that you would stop the insidious corruption that is going on in our country, and that we would see through the eyes of you and your word, without being religious people, but being people that actually walk with you and have a relationship with you. Bless now as we open our hearts in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Okay, chapter 6, what shall we say then? Goes back to chapter 5. So I want to give you the key that is going to unlock the next few weeks for you and hopefully the rest of your life. When I, as a young Christian, sat with my pastor week after week after week going through Romans, I was honored to be a brand new Christian and learn things that some people go 10, 20 years before they see it. What shall we say then? So what's he talking about? He's talking about verse 20 of the previous chapter, if you look at it. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Remember those five much mores? And this is one and the final one for this chapter. So the key is this. Sin abounds. We know that. We can see it with our eyes. We can understand it with our hearts. We can be involved with it personally or individually or one or two friends or a huge party in a bash. You are obvious to that, that sin abounds. But when sin is unraveled and it's abounding in the school systems and the political systems and the financial systems and the, you go on and on and on, when that starts taking place, grace much more abounds. But you have to see it and receive it. So we've got a lot of shakedown going on right now in our country. And sin is abounding. But the body of Christ is a bright light. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Why? Because every traveler, no matter if you're coming from the south, the north, the east, or the west, can see that bright light up on the hill. And the body of Christ is the city. But the shades are pulled down. The lights are turned off because the electric bill hasn't been paid. The body of Christ is weak and is feeble in some areas. It's not standing up for righteousness, but it's being pushed down because of a past righteous attitude and heart. So Paul says, what then shall we do? We see that sin's everywhere. You just open up the entertainment section of the Sunday San Diego Union Tribune. Sin abounds. Tens of thousands go into sanctuaries with big screens. And they sit there and they watch things. People getting murdered. People lying. People committing adultery. All sorts of bizarre things that are wicked and evil in God's sight. We go home with those things in our heart. The seeds have been planted. That's a big melodramatic thing. The sound is ruining your eardrums. Your eyes can't find your way up the stairs into your seat. And you trip and fall over and roll down to the first row. And people say, can I help you? And you say, I don't think so. And, you leave there and say, oh, I was entertained. But you weren't entertained. You went into a big box that does propaganda. And it's propaganda of everything opposite of what the Holy Scriptures teach us. So when we see sin abounding, do we just back off? No, we go forward. We stand up. We let our light so shine, Jesus said, that men will see our good works and they'll give glory to God our Father. So shall we say that since sin abounds, did you not know that grace much more abounds? Certainly not, he says in verse 2. Absolutely not. How shall he who died to sin live any longer in it? So what he's saying there is if you are a Christian and you've asked God to forgive you of your sin and he is your Lord and Savior, at that point, your old nature has been dealt with on the cross in history. You're a new creature. So since you're a new creature, why in the world are you still living like you did before you met Jesus? See, that's a good theological question because religion didn't help him, but Jesus does. So we don't sin and get ourselves in trouble by trespassing so that we say, well, you know, the Bible says God's got grace and he'll forgive me for this. And then you feel so much guilty afterwards. How shall we, the Christian community who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, and that word baptized means to be immersed into, were baptized into Jesus Christ, were actually baptized into his death? Do you not know? Underline that. I'll tell you why. Because he's raising a question that a teacher would ask. Do you have a little bit of ignorance in your mind? Do you not know these basic things? So he's the rabbi right here by raising the questions. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death? How many of you have been baptized? All right. Those of you that haven't, this will help you. But those of you that have, when we put you down in the water, you're now going down and identifying with his death. The water is the grave. When you pull him back, put a person back up, and you can see this is a really tall person. Hi, how are you doing? When you bring him back up, and it's a guy too. When you bring him back up, he's now in the resurrected life. It's an image. It's you saying, I'm dead. I like to do the baptisms in Mission Bay because the tide comes in, the tide goes out. When the tide goes out, your sins are halfway to Japan. They're out there floating. When the devil comes beating up on you and say, I'm sorry, I'm one of God's sons or I'm God's daughter, you go talk to him. Get those thoughts out of your mind, get the lust out of your heart, and walk forward as a strong Christian person. Do you not know? So a great example of him being a professor, that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So Jesus came out of the grave, newness of life was there, and that's what I have, and that's what you have. But we don't walk it all the time. So now he's saying, let this newness of life overpower you, that you're just on fire for the Lord, and you've lived your life for him. If you're living it for success in the world, you're never going to get it. So, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, so you are now his child, and Jesus says that he's the good shepherd, and you are my sheep. So we have been united together with the chief shepherd. And if that is true, he says, that we're united, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. A great word of hope. If you were baptized into Christ, into the body of Christ, Jesus being the head of the body, and you now have experienced that your sinful nature is slowing down, you are praying more, you are more involved in what comes through the process of your mind and your understanding, and you have this newness of life, and you know you've been changed. How many of you have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
All right. The reason I ask is because there are some people that haven't that are here. And this lifestyle changes because we've identified with his death and burial, but now we've identified with his resurrection. The difference is he went to heaven after his and then came back to tell everybody hello. And when he raised from the dead, the scriptures tell us that over 500 dead people came out of their graves. And would that not be spooky? I mean, zombies are big things for kids right now. But that would be spooky. You're sitting there watching the playoff game, knocking on the door, and all of a sudden it's Uncle Charlie who you went to the funeral 6 years ago. Whoa! I mean, the game is ruined. And Charlie has some things to tell you, right? That wouldn't be religious if a guy raised from the dead. But the devil knows if he can cover up the resurrection and make it look religious and put stained glass windows about the resurrection in church buildings and anything to, you know, lift up the apostles as saints or whatever it is, then he wins the battle. But if you grasp right now what Paul is saying, that if you had the power to identify through baptism in Jesus Christ, you now have that same power that resurrected him from the dead. So, since God is on your side, who can be against you? Nobody. He's the keeper of the gate. He only allows to come into your life what he allows, because he knows you can stand it and you can stand with him through it. So take on this whole new attitude that the resurrection power has come into you, and you are not going to absolutely think the way you used to think. See what I mean? So your thoughts change, and you're freed from the penalty of sin. Now, if you happen to be into... That's right. Because of...
sin.
Aha. The judgment is... Okay. So, since we are, it's a fact, he says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, see, it's a likeness, a simile, of his death by water baptism, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, look at verse 3, or do you not know? And this is a great teacher, and now he's talking about knowing this. That our old man, your nature, that's what he calls your old man, your old human nature, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. No longer a slave. I can't give up smoking. Well, the sin there is that you're ruining your lungs and might get esophagus cancer. Might get cancer in the roof of your mouth. That's the sin, that this is your temple. And how we handle this temple is what God is going to bless us for, or say, you know what, you could have done a lot more if you'd... But then you say, I can't stop smoking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop watching those dirty movies. Whatever it is going on in your life, I can't stop loving money. Do everything for money. And you take that energy for money and you transfer it for God, you'll be the richest man in town. If you are in
slavery
because of
sin,
the judgment is
death.
Okay, now let's, without any middleman, I'm just going to point, and you're going to listen carefully to what the other groups say as it comes to you.
Slavery.
Not very good.
Sin.
Yes, there we go.
Death.
Slavery. Sin and death. So we are surrounded with slavery, sin, and death. It's got us circled as humans. And without God's help, there is no way that we can break through this three-link chain that holds us back. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God the Creator, stood up one day and his Father asked him to come down to rescue you and me. And so he had to break the chains of slavery, and he had to wash us from our sin, and he had to die so that you will never die. Simple, huh? But all these times, these three words, 48 times in one chapter, slaves to sin brings death. Our human nature is dead in our trespasses and sins. But Jesus came because we confessed our sins. And if we confess our sins, 1 John says that he is faithful. I love it. Faithful to cleanse us from our sins and to wash us away from all unrighteousness that's in our heart. The chains break. He has paid the price to the slave master. He went to the cross instead of you. When he died, the power of the resurrection came, brought him up. Your sins are wiped away. And you do not need to fear death. It'll just be stepping out of this body in an instant, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, less than 1/1,000,000,000th of a second, and you'll be in a brand new body that will never die. So sin is all over the planet. Our nature is sinful, but we've been reborn. So this old man, as he calls it, that haunts us sometimes, we go back to old habits, he has been struck dead at the cross. The devil comes to you and says, what if, da 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 da, and all of a sudden you're back into what you're into. And that's what he's talking about. Since you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, you get the rewards of experiencing the darkness of the tomb of death. The creator of life took death so that you could be set free from slavery and have the power to no longer sin. I'm not preaching sinless perfection. And the warrant that is out in the universe for you is a death penalty. And yet Jesus, God says, is all you need. If you can say with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess that Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It is not a works thing. It's not a catechism. It's not you proving to him that you deserve to be saved, because you don't. But we realize here that old nature tries to destroy us. So you get angry with your roommate. You get mad at your husband. You say, I'm getting a divorce. And that can be kind of selfish. And it's usually because a couple is not close to the Lord. It's that simple. So being a slave to sin is why some of you cannot get out of the ruts you are in. And the difference between a rut and a grave is about 6 feet. And you can break that now as we get ready to take communion, to remember that Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ resurrected, and he's coming back again. So you have supernatural power, and it's over sin and being a slave to sin and also of death. You never need to worry again. So as the gentlemen come forward to serve as communion, I'd like to just read on a couple of verses here that you can get blessed with also. Knowing that our old man was crucified, past tense, with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And what a wonderful picture of Moses, slaves. And Moses came and God said, let my people go. And fire came, blood filled the Nile, frogs were in the houses, frogs were everywhere. Lice, it just went on. And that hard heart of that man, Pharaoh, would not let his people go. So it's a picture that it is difficult to be free. It's difficult to grasp all that it means to be a Christian. But it's very deep and it's very thought out what he has to say to us. Just reason this out. If you were crucified with Christ, you've been baptized, you've identified with the tomb, you now have resurrection power. That is very cool. And you are no longer in prison, or a prisoner whom the Lord frees, sets free, is free indeed. Indeed, matter of fact. So, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if he died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that our old man was crucified. You know, if you're a promiscuous person, one of the first things you'll notice is you're not promiscuous. That old nature was. You're a new creature in Christ. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, nor does death have dominion over you. Lord, we pray that you would accept our thanks, that death does not reign any longer over our lives. We thank you that Jesus raised from the dead and that Paul says he dies no more. We thank you that he took control and that he has freed us as slaves from sin. Just as you used Moses to free your people from the slavery of Pharaoh. And today, we want all that you have for us. We want all the blessings. So help us to discipline our nature in Christ. Help us to be people that'll study the Word and find these nuggets of freedom and share it with others. Bless, I pray, as we take communion now and worship you. Be honored by these people, Lord. For you have honored them to be on the lookout for slavery, sin, and death, and to introduce Jesus to those people in their circle so he could break that chain in their life. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for loving us. It so blesses us that we can learn so much about you through a book, and that you anoint the book. And we can hear your small, still voice. Holy Spirit, let these words sink into our hearts that we are surrounded by slavery, sin, and death. And we are truly free people and don't need to live like we used to. Let the resurrection power flood all of our souls today in Jesus' name. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, this is a private moment. This is a great time to just confess to God. The cup and the bread are symbolic of his body and his blood. So as our heads are bowed, just talk in your heart to the Lord. Maybe some things that you've held on to for years that came to surface, you're chained to it still. Ask him to break the chains. You've been afraid of dying. You just realize you don't need to be. Lord, I pray that you'd hear these hundreds of prayers and you would forgive. And by chance, before we partake, is there anyone here that has never confessed to God that you are a sinner? And you realize that you do have a lot of chains wrapped around you and you're in bondage to sin. Would this day you identify with Jesus and ask him to forgive you and to be your Lord and Savior? While everybody else is praying, would you just look up at me and hold your hand up? I'd like to pray for you during communion service. Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? One lady sitting in the sin section. Raise your hand. She's out free. We bless you, Lord. Amen.